Bix had arranged a meeting with a distinguished Stenonicosaurus named Malik, the timekeeper for all of Dinotopia. I met him in the Museum of Clocks and Sundials.
Professor Dennison, this way, please. And this is my newest acquisition.
A gold watch engraved with the initials AD.
Clean and in perfect condition.
How did you obtain this?
From a Skybax rider.
The watch was, of course, my own, the very one I'd used to pay Lee Crabb for our trip to Volcanium.
Professor Dennison, you of the West think of time moving in a straight line from past to present to future. Your Eastern brothers regard time as a circle returning endlessly in a cycle of decay and rebirth. Both ideas have a dimension of the truth, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I believe so.
Tell me, Professor Dennison, if you were to combine geometrically the movement of the circle with the movement of the line, what would you have?
The spiral.
Yes, or the helix. They are our models of the passage of time.
So time moves on, but history repeats itself.
Precisely. Won't you come with me to see our helicoid geoconnubra?
We entered a chamber inside the spherical dome. A creaking wooden device powered by water turned a gigantic stone pillar. As it revolved, a mechanism climbed up the spiraling ledge, leading with its sensitive fingers a series of notches and carvings. At intervals, colored flags would rise, whistles would sound, or pebbles would drop down on brass bells.
What time is it?
Time for Kentrosaurus to hatch. Time to plant the millet. Time for the magnolia buds to open.
No, I mean, what hour is it?
Professor Dennison, I'm afraid you persist in thinking of time as numbers. You think of meaningless units of time, weeks, hours, minutes, seconds. Based on what?
Movements of the planets.
Movements of faraway planets? Of what use is that?
Well, as I'm sure you're
Why
aware...
Why not pay attention to the precise 30-year cycle of the bamboo Wadwatrini, or the exactly repeated mitotic cycle of the paramecium?
I'm not sure I understand.
The whole world has a heartbeat.
I never quite thought of it that way.
No? Have you noticed some things happen too slowly for you to notice?
Have I noticed?
No. You must sit still to hear the grinding down of the mountain. The stretching upward of the trees, the pushing forward of continents, even the wearing away of this very waterfall.
I understand.
Do you? Here is something for you.
It's a pocket version of your great spiral clock.
You will soon become a Dinotopian. And when you do, you will measure your life in a very different way.
Bix showed us the library. A curious gentleman who calls himself Nalab greeted us at the door.
Yeah, learning to read?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, we use scrolls instead of books. Yeah, dinosaurs don't like to fumble with turning pages.
What was that?
Yeah, well, over there is Enid, our chief librarian.
An honor, sir.
Enid is a Deinonychus.
Well, are you surprised that dinosaurs can read?
No, but I've never seen a machine like that.
Well then, Enid, would you demonstrate the scroll reading machine? Enid?
It's a treadmill.
Yes, as Enid walks on the treadmill, the gears pull the paper down past the viewing area and onto a reel in its base.
Fascinating.
Yeah, isn't it though? Dinosaurs do their best thinking when their feet are moving.
Why is that?
Well, it comes from their ancestry. The early Dinotopian dinosaurs left footprint messages on stream banks. You know, directions, warnings, poems, even jokes and riddles.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yes.
And that's how they created their footprint alphabet.
Yes, very ingenious. Will.
Sir?
If you were a young dinosaur, you'd learn to write in a sandbox.
I would.
Oh, yes. But instead, we'll get you started with the quill of an Osteodontornis ori.
What do you think of that, Will?
Being shut up with all these musty scrolls?
I'm afraid this, too, is part of your education.
I know. I can stand any amount of studying if it'll get me into a skyback saddle.
Nollob escorted me on a tour of the library. From the outside, the building towers over the entire city. Inside, the numberless corridors and reading rooms are equipped with honeycomb shelves for the scrolls. I noticed that every room has a fireplace.
Dratted mildew. A constant battle to keep the scrolls dry. A waterfall is a nasty place for a library.
Uh-huh. The Library of Alexandria would have seemed a very small collection compared to this vast storehouse of ideas.
Oh, yes, the Library of Alexandria contained only a few short millennia of human wisdom.
And here you have the thinking of dinosaurs through the ages.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, the dinosaurs have mused and argued and dreamed and reasoned for tens of millions of years, watching all things from their calm, wrinkled eyes.
I think I can translate some of these titles.
Ah.
Let me see.
Yes.
Songs of the Sea Turtles.
Yeah, and here is How to Make Gold.
Lessons from the Bee Dance.
Bee Dance, yes. The Care and Teaching of Humans.
And this one?
Hmm?
P-E-R,
yes.
Perpetual.
Yeah.
Perpetual Motion Mechanics. Incredible.
Most Dinotopian writing's not even copied onto the scroll.
Why is that?
Oh, well, the gossip, the dull anecdotes, and the bad jokes are written out in a large sandbox.
I see, where they can be easily erased.
Precisely.
I noticed an Ornithomimus walking, or should I say writing, in the sandbox.
Yeah, well, the three-toed dinosaurs are always the scribes. They're fine dancers with good, clear footprints.
At Nollob's suggestion, we climbed the pyramid that loomed above the northwest corner of Waterfall City. Enshrined at the top was a tablet that I translated as follows. Well, let me see. Code of Dinotopia. Yes, survival of all or none. One rain. Raindrop. One raindrop raises the sea. Weapons are enemies even to their owners.
Yeah.
Give more, take less. Others first, self last. Observe, listen, and learn. Sing every day. Exercise imagination. Okay. Eat to live, don't live to eat.
Right.
The remaining text is missing.
You're wondering about the last line. The stone was broken when we discovered it, so we can only guess.
Any ideas?
Well, I believe the last line applies only to humans.
And that is?
Don't pee in the bath.
Nollob is a mine of information on matters Dinotopian. I even felt free to ask him about his age.
Well, now, how old do you think I am?
I would guess early 70s.
Shy by 50 years.
50 years?
Yeah.
That would be 120?
Yeah, well, actually, 127.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're all very long-lived on Dinotopia. Yeah, at least by your standards.
But how is that possible?
Well, it comes from the herbs we eat.
The herbs? Every day after the main meal, Nollob and I meet to explore a new corner of the city. We have wandered past canals and fountains, monuments, schools, gardens and observatories, kiosks and theaters, all woven into a watery labyrinth of stone that would shame even Venice. Nollob?
Yes, Arthur?
I can't imagine how it can be possible for such a small island to support enough artists and stonecutters to build all these wonders.
Oh?
And I can't imagine how all these different people and dinosaurs can possibly get along without quarreling.
Well, it is possible, but you can't imagine that?
No.
Well, it is possible, but only if you do imagine it.
February 8th, 1864. Will and I have dropped anchor here in Waterfall City. We've been here for 6 months now, and we discover new things every day. Perhaps we are enchanted by the mist, or we are beguiled by the siren song of the intellectual life.
You'll be expected to teach courses in outer world sciences and developments.
Oh, of course, of course. But between studies and teaching, I'm afraid there won't be much time for my notebooks.
Oh?
March 17, 1865. A year and a half in Dinotopia's Center of Learning. I've become something of a favorite at the library and have spent much time correcting and updating the reports from previous shipwrecked sailors about the outer world. The engineers study my diagrams with thoughtful respect, but they rarely carry my designs into action. The sewing machine, however, was met with enthusiastic acclaim. April 14, 1865. I have at last found the set of mildewed charts and old ballads mentioned by Tok. These are so primitive as to be totally useless.
Perhaps not totally, Arthur.
Why do you say that?
Well, they're the basis of religious myths of a heavenly underworld sacred to dinosaurs.
Yes, a curiosity, though, rather than a practicality.
Perhaps, perhaps not.
Still, it's a puzzle I would like to have solved, even though I have lost any desire to leave Dinotopia.
Well, perhaps a few more pieces and the puzzle may yet be solved.
Whenever I grow weary from reading scrolls or exploring the vaulted passages below the city, I mount the high places in the western sector and sit beneath the lion statues, where two long-toothed ancient beasts, carved from red granite, crouch amid the thunder and mist.
There is a legend, Arthur. They say, at one time the falling water had no voice and was as silent as the clouds. But when the lions first arrived in Dinotopia, they were kept for a time on the bare rock that later became Waterfall City. Their roaring awoke the waters, provoking an eternal answering call.
Could there still be such lions alive on Dinotopia?
Oh, why that fall, Arthur?
Well, I sometimes hear talk of the Forbidden Mountains, a colder region where a great variety of prehistoric mammals still thrive.
Meat-eaters, yes, but not lions in the lowlands.
Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Oh, assuredly.
Where?
Well, you will soon see.
Bix, what are you telling me?
Well, when we set out to cross Rainy Basin, we will have to be particularly careful.